So it's good to be with you this morning. We are kicking off a new series this morning called The Struggle. Come on, how many of y'all can relate to the struggle? The struggle just to live life. How many of you know that the struggle, though, at the end of the day, isn't about what's coming against you. It's that you're holding your place and that it's struggling to try to overtake you. Because how many of you know you're stronger in Christ than what the enemy may be throwing at you this morning? So you are in victory. Amen. And so we're going to kick off our series this morning. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start off in reading in verse 10. But I want to pray real quick before we get started. And just ask the Holy Spirit to come and empower us and equip us this morning. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for every life here this morning. God, that you have an assignment for our lives. God, that you have a desire for us to live out, God, our God-given purpose. And Lord, I thank you that you would illuminate, God, the things this morning that need to help us become aware of those things. God, I pray for the lives that we have the power to influence. God, that you would use us, God, to impact people's lives. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, all that you're doing in this world and Lord, the lives that you're transforming. But God, I pray more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Let me go ahead and read the scripture real quick. And I'm going to read through like three or four verses and starting in verse 10. And it says this, a final word. And this is Paul talking and he's letting us know that this is an important thing. And so to be aware of it, he says, this is my final word. How many of you know if somebody is about to leave and they're about to say goodbye and they say, this is the last thing I want to tell you, that's probably one of the conversations you want to kind of hold tightly to. This is Paul. This is what he's sharing with us. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Amen. And as I was reading this, I begin to think about, if you've ever had to put something together, has anybody ever had to, you buy something and it says easy assembly and you get it and you think, oh, I just look at the picture and I'll put it together. And then when you put it together, there's like 10 pieces left over. Can I get anybody to attest to that? Yeah. Last year, I remember Alicia's like, I got a good idea. We'll get Jaylee a kitchen for Christmas. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a great idea. Until I saw that it came with 10,000 pieces included. And I thought, wow, okay, I'll just put this thing together. Because I come from a construction background. So I was like, I'll just put this thing together. And as I began to put it together, I began, okay, this is a little over my head. I was like, babe, I need the instructions. But how many of you know that a lot of times, come on, us as men, we're like, I can do this without the instructions. And then it looks a little different when you get done. And I kind of tied this back to this sermon because I believe that how many of you know that we have an assignment? We have something that God is calling us to build, calling us to do. And how many of you know that you need, sometimes you need instructions to do this thing. You need some things. And a lot of times what we do is we try to fight the battle that God's calling us to. We're called to build the kingdom. And sometimes that's going to war. And a lot of times we do it without the instruction manual. And the whole thing is, what I'm trying to put it to share with you this morning is that the enemy loves when you try to build without instructions. Because what it does is it creates exhaustion in you as a person. And then finally, you ever gotten to the place where you started to put something together and you said, fine, I'm done. Call the professionals. They can put it together. And the whole point is you've got to a place of exhaustion where you no longer want to fight and put something together that you once want, where you were excited about and you were really looking forward to putting this thing together. Now you have zero desire to put it back together because you become exhausted. And I believe that this is the number one thing that the enemy wants to do is create either deception in the fact that you think you can put this together without the instructions, or two, that he will exhaust you where you become so fatigued that you can't even build what you once would have been capable of doing if you'd have just had the instructions. And how many of you know that at the end of the day, this is our instruction manual with how we conquer the enemy. And so we see here that in this world, right, we live in a world that's natural. We live in a world that we can see, touch, taste, feel. But there's also another reality that we cannot see, touch, taste, or feel, called the heavenly places. And this is what Paul is explaining. And he says here in the very beginning, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I think that this is so important because I think a lot of us are trying to fight battles without God. We are trying to fight battles and situations and circumstances without being empowered by God. And I came across this this story from the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. If you've ever heard it or whatever, I'm going to read a little excerpt from it. It's just a really powerful way to look at a realm that you cannot see. Because at the end of the day, right now, the enemy has been creating a strategy for you all day to try to do whatever he can to get you to not come to church, to not hear God's word, to be whatever to whoever, and to build something against you. And this is what I love this little excerpt. It says this in the Screwtape Letters. When an elder demon is talking to a young demon giving advice on how to deceive people. So we see that there's an older elder demon, and he's training up these younger demons in how to deceive and how to work the system against these Christians. And this is what he says. He says, Wormwood, I do not think you'll have much difficulty in keeping the patient in the dark. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begins to arise in his mind, just suggest to him a picture of something in red tights and persuade that since he can't believe in that, he therefore cannot believe in you. And see, how many of you know that the enemy is hard at work and trying to create an idea in our minds that he's not there? He is trying to do everything he can to create a reality that you don't believe. He's trying to make what is a reality something that because you can't see it, it must not be real, right? And so here Paul addresses spiritual warfare. And I know that for many of us, this is the biggest challenge. Is first of all, we didn't even know that there is another realm. There isn't even another. I didn't know that there was something this real. And then Paul begins to explain this, like, how do you combat something that you can't see? Right? How do you fight something that in the natural you function and you drive in a car and you go to work and you use a computer and everything that you do on a daily basis operates from a natural perspective, right? But Paul is saying here one final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He's saying the fight that you're called to fight can't be fought in your strength. It has to be fought in mine. It has to be fought. It has to be contended from the strength that I give you. So the first point is this, is that at the end of the day, strength comes from the source you're submitted to. How many of you know that what you submit to is what you draw your strength or your weakness from? And the enemy would love for you to think about a reality that doesn't exist, because you will not affect a reality that you don't believe is there. And so at the end of the day, spiritual warfare is about taking territory. How many of you know that it's in this kingdom right now in our lives, like, it's all about, man, if I could get a piece of property or whatever. But in this kingdom, this isn't talking about land. This is talking about hearts. This is talking about souls. This is talking about the life of somebody else that's hurting and broken. And God is calling us to go to war on their behalf. Because the enemy, his goal is to take territory from God. God gave his son. And he gave his son so that the cross could impact and empower those that believed in him. And so the enemy comes in to try to deceive and to try to make it look like Jesus didn't really do that for you. Or he's really not there. It's just a figment of your imagination. He was a nice guy. He did this. And he tries to build this thesis against God. And so here we see that Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And in that, you have to make a decision. Am I going to submit and surrender to God? Or am I going to just trust in the reality that life is just life, what it is? Because see, that's what the enemy would love for you to do, is just to say, life just happens. Anybody ever said that? Life just happens. How many of you know that at the end of the day, there is a war against your soul? There is a prize for your soul. And the enemy would love to do everything he can to take it from you. And so I begin to think about this. And as I thought about this, I begin to think about the two different realms. Like, we're talking in the natural realm right now. And how many of you know then there's this other realm that we can't see, that it says in verse 12, this unseen realm. And how many of you know that in this earth, there's this, you know, the land that you walk up, but then there's the water. And the land and the water are two different realms. Like, right now, you're breathing air. If you go underwater and try to breathe air, it doesn't work out for you, right? It's called drowning. And so what happens is, when you try to live in a realm that you have not been empowered to live in, that realm overtakes you. And what God is telling us basically is that you cannot live in the unseen realm without me empowering you. And as I begin to think about this, I begin to think about a couple of months ago, I went scuba diving for the first time. And I remember going and putting on the respirator and the oxygen tank and thinking, oh, this is going to be so much fun. For the first 15 or 20 minutes, I was in anxiety because I couldn't wrap my brain around breathe underwater. Because I was used to the realm of breathing air. But when I went underneath it, the guy's like telling me, he's like, breathe. And I'm like, I'm just holding my breath with scuba gear on. I'm like, no, not doing it, bro. And I came back up. He was like, what happened? I was like, I can't do it. I just can't breathe underwater. It's not normal. And I say that because this, at the end of the day, God gave you the power of the Spirit so that you could enter a realm that you were not supposed to be in. But because of the cross and the blood of Jesus, he gave you access into a realm that now, where you once weren't able to have access into, now you're able to see and to discover and know, okay, this is where I'm called to fight. And how many of you know that there is a real war going on right now? There is a war right now for the souls of mankind that you and I can't see. Now, how many of you know that if we drove up on an accident right now, you leave church and you drive up and there's an accident, in that moment, you would do whatever you could to call 911, call the firemen right over here, say, we need your help. In the natural, you would do that. But I want you to know that just as real as that is a reality, there are right now accidents in the kingdom, in the darkness happening. And it is important that you and I are aware of those things so that we can begin to shift and change the circumstances and the situations that are happening around us. Right? And so we draw our strength at the end of the day from every single battle that we face from the power of Christ. That is how you get power. That is how you get strength. And now, the other side of this is oftentimes, how many of you guys know, all you guys who, you know, at the end of the day, you're tough, you fight and all that stuff. But how many of you know, when you walk up to a guy who's 6'7", 290 pounds, and you're 190 pounds, that fight that you were willing to do kind of changes a little bit, right? Because the guy's a little tad bit bigger or whatever. He's like, yeah, but you fight a guy that's 140, it's like, bring it on, right? And see, this is what happens in the spirit. Is a lot of times what we do is we determine the fights we're willing to fight based on what we can see in the flesh. What we can see that we can conquer in ourselves. How many of you know that, like, you know, road rage is like, I can take care of this one. There's a lot of things that what we can take care of in the natural, we just take care of. And we oftentimes don't ever fault to God in any situation. But how many of you know that every struggle, every battle you face, regardless of how big or how small, it should come from being empowered by God. That you should be empowered in him, and that you don't allow what you are willing to confront or not confront be based on the strength of your flesh. Right? Because a lot of times we determine what we're willing to fight or not fight based on how big it is. Perfect example is David and Goliath. right? We know David is this little boy and they've got a whole army, and these guys look at Goliath and they say, no way. David sees Goliath and he doesn't see his weakness. He sees how big his God is. And you will only fight the fights that God's calling you into when you see how big God is in you, not the enemy that you're facing. Amen? And so at the end of the day, natural changes don't mean spiritual change. How many of you know that we oftentimes look at things in the natural and say, oh, okay, I'm getting victory. But how many of you know that natural circumstances don't mean spiritual transformation? And so many times we use these natural things in our lives to govern how spiritual we are or how not spiritual we are. How many of you know, if you've ever prayed a prayer and you begin to look at something in the natural and that thing isn't shifting yet, you immediately begin to look back at your weakness and think, I'm just not praying and I'm just not whatever, right? And so you begin to look at your strength as what can determine the prayer being answered, instead of the fact that God has called me to pray and I'm going to pray until God releases me from this, and I'm going to do whatever I've got to do regardless of the circumstances and the situations that are around me. Have you know that until there is a change in the spirit realm, there is never an actual change in the natural. There is no natural result that changes before changes in the spirit realm. In other words, it's a lot of times like, we will look in a marriage situation and there's marriage is going through something, and we will tend to look at what we can do in the natural to make something work instead of looking at God and saying, God, you see this situation. If they're whatever it is, God, I go to prayer on behalf of them. And as you do that, something begins to shift and something begins to change. There's a scripture that I found. Well, let me go put it back on here real quick in verse 11. It says this: put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Now, I want you to see something here this morning. It said to put on whose armor? Not your armor, right? Whose? God's. Why? So that when you go to battle, what does the enemy see? The enemy sees God and not you. Because in our weaknesses, he is strong. Because when you position and when you put on the armor of God, you begin to walk in a power and in an authority that you once weren't walking in. And as you do that, what was once impossible begins to be like that respirator and that oxygen tank, and it allows you to get into a realm that you once did not have access into. But because you're willing to put on the armor, you begin to walk in a new realm of authority and confidence. There's this passage of scripture in Proverbs 24 in verse 6, and it says this: wise strategy is necessary to wage war, and with many astute advisors, you'll see the path to victory more clearly. And as I was beginning to read this and just process this, that wise strategy is necessary to wage war. How many of you know that there, you and I as believers should have a strategy in how we defeat the enemy and how we go against him? That it's not like, well, today I'm just going to do whatever. There is a strategy. There is this something that you're doing strategic to defend and to fight against the enemy, right? And so as you begin to begin to take this advice and this strategy into practice, it would be much like, well, okay, I'm just going to not just shoot to the hip. I'm not going to read God's word. I'm just going to flip it to, well, oh, it's Jeremiah 29 today. We're going to read Jeremiah 29. And how many of you know you don't defeat the enemy by just, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit pick my scripture. There has to be a strategy to what God is calling you to fight. If God is calling you to fight on marriage, then you need to go through scripture and begin to profess and confess the scriptures over marriage. If it's over sickness, you need to begin to find scripture that are on sickness. You need to begin to speak those out. And as you begin to speak those things out, that's when the atmosphere begins to change. That is strategy. Strategy is using the instruction manual for the thing that you're called to conquer. Amen? And so, now we go into verse 12, and it says this: for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Right there is one of our biggest issues as believers, right? We have somebody who does something to us, What is our natural thing to do is to react, to respond, to retaliate in flesh, right? But how many of you know behind every evil person is an evil spirit? So if you don't know that and your response is always fleshly, then guess what happens? The enemy loves that. The enemy loves when you get fleshy like the lost person. Or when you get on social media and you get on Facebook and you start typing your thoughts to somebody about how you feel about something. I'm going to let them know how I really feel. You're fighting against flesh and blood. You've bought into what the enemy was like. Oh man, yeah, I got this one. He's going to offend a couple more people. They were so close to coming to Christ, but they just sent that and they just. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So what we do is when we see somebody who does a stupid remark on Facebook or social media, what we should do is take that and begin to pray and begin to intercede and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to go to work on their behalf. Because some people are just ignorant of something. They don't know. It's not that they want to be ignorant. It's just they don't know. But as you pray, it illuminates, kind of like what we talked about last week, salt and light. It begins to illuminate something that they didn't know. But how many of you know that God can't illuminate what you're trying to answer in your flesh? See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So how many of you know that your spouse isn't your problem? Your kid isn't your problem. That job, that boss isn't your problem. They're functioning and operating under a spirit. You can go ahead and call them devils, demons. Like, you've been like a demon today, honey. We're going to do marriage counseling next week. We're going to start. No, but at the end of the day, it is the reality. We so easily are drawn to a natural, right? Because we live in this natural world. But so much more of our world is spiritual than it is natural, right? You were formed in your mother's womb before anything, right? Who put you together? God did. God, the Spirit of God, put you together before you were formed in your mother's womb. So you were a spirit being before you were even a natural being. Before you were placed in your mother's womb, you were already a spirit living being. And so we put so much equity in the natural realm when we don't maybe intentionally, and we don't do it on purpose, but it's because it's the realm we live in. So God is wanting us to open up our spirits so that we can realize and understand that the things that we're called to war in are coming from the spirit realm. How many of you know that God put Reach Church in Centerton, Arkansas? And that there is an assignment on this church to help the widow, to help the orphan, to help the single mom and the single dad, and to help those that are in poverty and those that are in perversion and greed. And how many of you know that if we as a church, how many of you know that it's not just the pastor's job to begin to pray and intercede and stand in the gap? It is our jobs. And when we understand that, the whole city begins to change. And what was once a gate in Centerton becomes an access point for the kingdom. How many know that the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail? That means they are stationary, but they have the ability to be opened. And when they open, guess what happens? Lost people come through it. And guess who's on the other side of that gate? We are, to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Right? And so we see here in verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. How many of you know you can't fight spiritual battles with natural resources? You cannot fight what God is calling you to fight in the spirit with your mouth. With whatever other thing you choose. You have to use spirit to spirit. Amen? See, the more that we wrestle in the flesh, the longer the war remains. Let me say that again. The longer we wrestle in the flesh, the longer the war remains. In other words, what are we saying is this, is that we can be wrestling and we can be telling people on Facebook or social media or texting. I'm going to text them. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've sent a text and then I deleted it. I felt better that I wrote it out on the text, I'll be honest. But then I deleted it and I said, you know what? This is not a flesh thing. This is a spiritual thing. And as long as we continue to respond in the flesh, the war remains. Because this is not a war. This is not a war that's won in the flesh. This is a war that's won in the spirit. And at the end of the day, if Satan can convince you that the natural realm is the only reality, that's where he wins. It is his goal to try to keep you and I so focused on our natural realm that we never enter into the spirit realm. Perfect analogy would be this. How many of you guys, you know, there's a plane, and a plane at a certain speed can enter into another sphere. And I want you to understand that this morning, that there is the ability to enter into another realm, but you have to use something else to get into it. You have to use something else other than what you actually have. I can't go run real fast and act like I'm flying and start flying. It's just not going to happen. You want me to try? It's not going to work out because I'm in my natural. But if I get a jet engine and I begin to turn it on and go as fast as I can, because I'm using something else, it gives me an access point into something that I wasn't able to get into. So God is trying to break us out of this natural reality where everything that we look at is like, well, they shouldn't have done that. Or, blah, blah, blah. And we try to all make up all these natural reasons when it's a spiritual thing. Well, that guy's never going to get off drugs. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. That's why we as believers have to understand the Spirit of God, the empowering Spirit of God, because it's what sets people free. Amen? Look, like Alicia was saying earlier, the battle's not always going to be about you. See, we'll fight when it affects us, right? We'll fight for somebody when it affects us. I mean, I remember when Tina, a couple years ago, we were talking about this earlier. But I remember when Tina she'd gotten sick, and you know, it was like in this moment we took her into the hospital, and you know, where our faith was, you know, we were feeling good, like based on what the doctors had said, they were like, you know, we think she's going to be totally fine. We get her upstairs to the room she's staying in, and Alicia and I are just out here chatting, and we're sitting down, and we're just talking about, you know, just the reality of what's going on, and Alicia's sitting here, and I'm sitting here, and I remember sitting there, we were waiting where the doors of the actual, you know, the rooms were, and we were just on this side in the waiting room, and we were just chatting, and all of a sudden the doctor comes out with like a chainsaw massacre mask, and I'm like, what the heck? And he comes out, and he's got this nurse, and the nurse is looking down, and she's not looking at us, and we're like, hello, like, what's going on? And the doctor says, I want you to know that you brought us in a very sick girl. And he said, I don't know if she's going to make it through the night. And I remember in that moment thinking, literally my world and Alicia, it was like we told each other the same thing. It was like our world went, you know, the world's spinning right now as we're sitting here. It's like you can feel in almost in the spirit realm, like where it slows down. And everything you move, it's like slow motion to her, like when I'm talking to her. And I remember in that moment, I thank God that I didn't have to build my faith. My faith was already built. And there are things that you're going to have to fight and battle and wrestle against that I want you to know why this is so important, because there is a battle that you're going to be called into that you're not going to have time to go run. Hold on, devil, let me go get my gun. I'll be right with you. You're going to have your ammo with you right there and be ready to roll the moment that the situation comes up. And we, in that moment, had to say, okay, God, we believe that you are a healer, that you are a miracle maker. And so, God, we're going to stand on your word. Your instruction manual says this. And so we prophesy over her life, God, that she will live and she will not die. And in that moment, we had an opportunity to allow her circumstance to define our reality or our faith to determine hers. That is spiritual warfare, church. It's the ability to pray and to intercede and to step into a realm that you were not once able to step into. But I want you to know that you don't get to go prepare for this And then whenever you can tell the, you can talk to the devil and say, hold on. Okay, so let's work out a negotiation. So you step away for a minute. I'm going to go do something for a minute. We'll come back and then we'll talk. The devil is not your friend. The Bible says that Satan came to steal, kill, and to destroy. That is his assignment. That is his goal. That's all he cares about. He doesn't play fair. He will do whatever he's got to do to take you out when you least expect it. I mean, this happened on Super Bowl Sunday. It was 12 inches. We live in Arkansas. We don't get that much snow. We got like 12 to 18 inches of snow that morning. Everything that could have been a hindrance and an opportunity to say, well, you know what, just tough it up, suck it up, and we'll get you through the night and take you in the morning. The devil doesn't play fair. She would have been gone in the morning. And I think it's so important for us to understand and say, look, this is not about just coming to church on Sunday and giving your offering and doing, making yourself feel good. This is about spiritual warfare. This is about souls that are at stake, and that you've got to prepare yourself so that when you go to battle, that you go to battle. Right? I know this isn't like the popular bring all your friends to church thing, but this is a reality, and that we as believers have to understand that we are in a real fight. And if you want to enjoy your Christian life, you've got to build your faith up so that you can fight when you need to fight. So that when other people are going through something, you can stand in the gap with them and fight. I remember this week, I was looking through Instagram, and sometimes I'll find somebody, and it was like this story of this girl. She was 3 years old, blonde hair, just like Jaylee. Jaylee's about to be three, and it was like, I just began to read the story, and I got teary-eyed like so many times, and I was just like, and I just began to pray for this girl and her parents. I couldn't imagine what they were going through, and I just began to turn this worship song on and just begin to lift her up, and they were praying. They said, man, if you could, anybody that is reading this, if you could just be praying for her fever to break, the infection has to go down before they can go in and do heart surgery on her. And I began to pray, and that afternoon, she sent out a post. Her heart, her fever is gone, and the infection is done. They're fixing the intubator so they can begin to start surgery. And I didn't even know this girl. And I'm not saying just my prayers. I'm saying she set that out. But all of us that were reading that went to war on this girl's behalf that we don't know. And I want you to understand that there are going to be things that you're going to have to go to war for that aren't benefiting you as an individual, but they benefit the kingdom. How many of you know we're family? When something happens to you or you, it happens to us. And you have to be willing to go to war for somebody that you may not know. Amen? Look, at the end of the day, authority is all that matters in spiritual warfare. Authority is all that matters. It's not about how long you've been saved, how many times you come to church, what your giving records are, what your serving is, at what capacity do you serve in the church. None of that matters. What matters is your authority to walk in the realm that God has called you to walk in. Have you know if a police officer walked in here right now on duty and he said, sir, I need you to do something. How many of you know we would stop the service, the police officer would have final authority. But how many of you know if that same police officer walked in without his badge on and without his gun and without his authority, we would say, sir, you need to sit down. Right? Because he's not walking in his authority. But when you walk in your authority and you're up against the enemy, you walk in and you say, devil, you need to sit down because I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is working out on my behalf. So authority is all that matters in warfare. You've got to begin to become confident in who you are so that you can go to war when God calls you to war. And this is the hard thing. It's like, but when do you know? Like, when do you, I mean, you know, that is the struggle. Like, we have to know. Like, we have to just sense God gave us the gifts of the Spirit. And one of those gifts is discernment. And when God gives you the spirit of discernment and you say, no, like this girl that I was praying for, I've seen a lot of different people in the hospital. For this one, I needed to pray. The Holy Spirit put on me, you need to pray for her. You need to lift up. Turned on a worship song and it said, why not now? Miracles. It was about miracles. It said, why not now? And I began to prophesy that song over that girl. Why not now, God? This seems like the perfect day for a miracle. And sometimes you just got to do that. You got to look ridiculous driving in your car to work with one hand up, one eye closed. I'm just kidding. But you just got to worship. You got to give God some glory. You got to just begin to go to war on his behalf so that you can see something shift in the atmosphere. Sorry, I'm getting all excited. Verse 13 says this, therefore put on every piece of God's armor. How many of you know you didn't wake up this morning with God's armor on? It says to put it on. That means you have to say, okay, I'm going to be aware of the fact that, why does he say put it on? So you remind yourself that you're in a war. Yeah. You put on your church clothes today, but you needed to know you put on the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the preparation of peace, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. That's what we should have been putting on this morning. Put on every piece of God's armor. How many of you know that what you put on determines what you push away? You cannot push away what you don't put on. When you have armor, you can push away the enemy. You can push him away. But when you say, I'm just going to be somebody, I'm just going to be whatever today, guess who gets final authority over you? Because see, when you put yourself in God's armor, who do they see? They see God. They don't see you. Notice he gives us helmet, breastplate, shield, belt, and the piece, shod in our feet. He gives us five pieces of armor and one weapon, the sword of the Spirit. Amen? How many of you know that this is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God? Not just this word. When God impresses on you, you begin to speak and you begin to pray that out. And as you do that, that's the sword that fights the enemy. Amen? Look, spiritual warfare is going to require you to stand in the middle of adversity. But notice that he gave you peace. He gave you these shoes that allow you to have peace in the midst of adversity. I remember when Tina's situation happened. Look, that situation did not look good. If we're really honest, we were scared. Fear tried to grab us. I want you to know that faith sometimes feels like it has wings. And where you thought you had faith, all of a sudden, those things that happened begin to shake you. But it was in that God revealed, okay, look, I feel peace. I feel like God is going to answer this thing and we are going to see a miracle. Can I tell you the testimony? She just led worship for us this morning. Do you know what the enemy, what it was? It was respiratory. Her lungs. Today, she gave glory to what the enemy tried to take from her. You don't think the enemy knows that she's been called to lead worship? You don't think the enemy knows that you're called to be an incredible businessman or an incredible home mom or an incredible college student that's the light of the world? You think that the enemy doesn't know that? He knows. And it's your ability to stand up in the middle of adversity, in the midst of chaos, and say, I'm going to continue to proclaim the truths and the facts of God's kingdom over this situation. Amen. Amen. Y'all can stand this morning. Look, I pray more than anything that this sermon doesn't do anything but provoke you to become more aware of the spirit realm. Look, I say this because I don't want you to be people who chase devils. It's like, I mean, that was the devil. Everything, the devil. Never, I don't want it to be about that. That's what the enemy would do is he would love for you to just keep glorifying him and say, oh, that devil, devil, devil. Look, there are natural things that happen. And let the natural things happen. But there are spiritual things that happen. And it's so important to know those two. And I really sense God's going to begin to shift some of us this morning where we think about things differently. That things are filtered from the spirit into the natural, not from the natural to the spirit. So I just want to pray over you this morning. Father, you know every life. God, you know every circumstance, every situation, the struggles. God, I thank you right now. God, for empowering us, giving us the armor that we need, the sword of the Spirit, God, and that we would begin to become more aware of it, God. God, help us fight on your behalf. I thank you, God, that we already have won, but there are souls that are in the brink, that they're awaiting, God, to be saved, that they're lost. And God, we intercede for them. We pray for them, God. We thank you for the miracles that are happening in this church and in this city and in this region and in around the world as we take up the armor of God. We love you. We thank you for it. Look, this morning, if you're in here and you've never made Jesus Christ the personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to a God who's radically in love with you. You'd say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I want to recommit. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. If that's you, if you could just slip your hand up real quick and set it right back down. You say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. If you would just pray this prayer with me, just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that he rose again on the third day. So I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to reveal the destiny and the purpose you have for my life.